Okay, Rabbi said, the Mishnah tells us over here in Chaf Aleph Med Aleph that there are two halachos that apply specifically to the king, as the Pasuk tells us in Parsha Shoftim. One is Lo Yarba Lo Susim, Pen Yashiv Al Mitzrayim, he's not allowed to have too many horses, it might lead us back to Mitzrayim. The other one is Lo Yarba Lo Noshim, he shouldn't have too many wives. Lo Yasu Levavoy, and he should not, his heart should not go astray. So the Mishnah here quotes Machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about this halacha of Lo Yarba Lo Noshim. So first the Mishnah tells us he's allowed to have 18 wives. That's not too many. Up to 18 is okay. And the Gemara derives that from Sukkin. But what is the nature of this halacha Lo Yarba Lo Noshim? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda's opinion is Marba Huloi, he can have as many as he likes, Uavaj Lo Yimasiris as Liboi, as long as they don't lead his heart astray. Because of Yehuda reasons that the whole purpose for this Iser is because it shouldn't lead his heart astray. So if they're all Ashes Chayals, I don't even know what the plural of that is, Noshim Chayalos, if they're all wonderful women of valor, so then they're not going to lead his heart astray. Even if he has more than 18, it's allowed. Rav Shimon Oimer, Afilo Achas Masiras Liboi, Hareze Lo Yisena. Even if it's one who's Masiras Liboi, he cannot. You may marry to her, but even if she's not, even if they're not Masiris as Libo, he's only allowed to have up until 18. So the Gemara explains that the machlekes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is rooted in a larger issue which comes up throughout many Masechtas of Shas, and that is whether or not we are Doresh Taima of the Krah. When the Pasuk says in Iser, can we infer or intuit or speculate as to the reason of the mitzvah, and then regulate its application based on the reason that we've suggested, or perhaps we cannot do that. So ostensibly, it sounds like what Rabbi Yehuda is doing is exactly that, is Darshin and Taima Dekrah. Why is there such an Isav Loyab Loy Noshim? Because they're going to lead your heart astray. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if they are Neshei Chayil, if they're a wonderful woman, you can have even more than 18. If you don't know, they're of dubious origin or motivation, so then you can have up until 18, but if you know that they're okay, you can have even more than 18. So he's regulating the application of the Iser based on the reason that he suggested. And Rav Shimon doesn't subscribe to that. That's what the Gemara, that's how the Gemara begins. It sounds like Rav Shimon says, no, you cannot say you can have more than 18 just because they're wonderful women. Even if they would be Neshei Chayil, you can only have up until 18. So the Gemara begins, L'mei Mad Rav Yehuda, Darish Time in the Krav, Rav Shimon Loi Darish Time in the Krav. Yehuda suggests speculators to a reason for the mitzvah and then regulate his application based on that reason. Rav Shimon did not. But this is a well-known machlekes arishonim. It's well machlekes tanoim between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda that is documented in many mesechtas of Shas. That is just the opposite. In fact, Rav Shimon holds darshin and time of the crow. Yehuda does not subscribe to this notion of darshin and time of the crow. Where does this appear? With regards to the pasuk of loisach bo beged almono, that you're not allowed to take the garment of an almana as a mashkon, as collateral for a loan. That's of Yehuda's opinion. And that's the pasuk. But if Yehuda applies it, whether to understand the pasuk applies, equally across the board, whether the woman is a rich woman or the woman is does not have resources, either way, you're not allowed to take the garment of the almana as collateral for the loan. Or Shimon Oimer, Ashira Mamashkin Oisa. Ania ain't a mashkin. If she's wealthy, then you can take her garments as a mashkin. Only if she's poor, then you cannot take her garment as a mashkin. Why? Because of Shimon reasons. What's the whole reason? What's the whole purpose of this Easter and the Torah of taking the beged almana as a mashkin? Because motziya shem rabish chedu seha. You're going to take her day dress. Then she doesn't have too much clothing. She's an ania, so she's going to keep her pajamas, so she has something to go to sleep in. Then in the morning, she's going to come, walk into your home in the pajamas, or she's going to hand you the pajamas and her bathrobe, I don't know, you know, and hand the pajamas, we have to get a little graphic over here, and hand the pajamas, and she's going to hand back the day dress. It's going to look very strange, to say the least. So therefore, the Torah said, Loisach Bebeged Almana, but what if she's an Isha Ashira? She owns a department store, she owns the clothing store, but she needed a business loan. So I can't take clothing from her. She happens to be an almana, but she's very wealthy. Publicly, I don't know. You know, she's a billionaire. But I want to take garments as a mashkin for the business loan. I can't take garments. It says Rav Shimon. It doesn't make any sense. So if Shimon speculated a reason for the mitzvah, which is because Maitzia Shechem Rabbi Shechem Nusa, and therefore he regulated its application, only applies to Isha Aniyah, not to an Isha Ashira. And Yehuda's loyder is time of the cry. He holds you cannot do that. You can't speculate a reason and then regulate the application of the Easter based on that reason. Yeah.
Can't be that a woman could just return it. Why can the guy's wife go and every night go give the mashkon back and forth?
Yeah, okay, but this is the, fear is that this is what might happen. Is what might happen. Yeah.
Also, don't they both agree that you can't take a mashkon from a poor person to begin with?
Not true.
The Gemara itself said, it says from a niya, no.
We're talking about an almana. Only an almana.
Yeah, an almana that's poor.
Everyone agrees. What about almana ashira?
Then why would you need to go give it back if she has other clothes?
Yeah.
No, but can I take it? You're right, so there's no fear of Motzi Shem Rabbi Shechenu Seh, but the Torah says, Lo Sachbo Beged Almano, you can't take clothing as collateral for a loan from an Almano. So is that, we don't know, Gzeirus HaKosuv, Choyt V'lo Yavar, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, we understand this, because it's going to create an uncomfortable situation. But if it won't create an uncomfortable situation, like she's an Almano Ashira, she's not going to come back and forth switching the clothing, that's allowed. That's Rav Shimon. That's Darish time of the Krah. He speculated a reason and then regulated the mitzvah based on that. But Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to that.
So, Rav, I heard you speaking to one of the Talmidim saying that the Krah already has a reasoning, and it's just...
Oh, 1 second. So that's the Gemara's question. That seems to be against our Mishnah. The Rav Yehuda said, what is the reason he can't have many wives? Because she's got lo yaser slavova. It's going to lead his heart astray. But if they're nishay chayo, then he can't have more than 18 wives. So it sounds like Rav Yehuda's the one who, and Rav Shimon doesn't go for it. It sounds like Rav Yehuda's the one who's being derish time at the Krah, and regulating the application of the mitzvah, the Easter, that only applies if they're of dubious motivation, religiosity, but otherwise you can have more, and Rav Shimon doesn't go for it. So it sounds like Rav Shimon is loy derish time at the Krah, and Rav Yehuda is. So the Gemara explains that in fact, the truth of the matter is, like the case by the Beged Almana, Rav Yehuda's loy darish time of the Krah. Rav Shimon does darish time of the Krah. Rav Shimon believes you can speculate a reason and regulate the application of the Easter based on that reason. But here, by the loyar b'loy noshim, it's different. Because here the Torah said a reason, lo yosir levavoy. If he's going to have too many wives, they're going to lead him astray. So that's what the Gemara says, even though Rav Yehuda's generally loy darish time of the Krah, here he would be, because shiny hachad mefarish time in the Krah. Here it's different because the pasuk itself says a reason. If the Torah gives us the reason, so then we don't have to speculate anymore. So now we can regulate the Easter based on the reason that the Torah itself gives. So if the women are of the highest order of religiosity, so let him have more than 18 wives. Maybe they'll be inspire him to grow more. What?
Yes. Did Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that you can't have any wives that are yes or
no? No, that's only Rabbi Shimon's opinion.
So Rabbi Yehuda, you can have 18 wives that aren't.
It doesn't talk about if you know that she's a Rishah. The Gemara says, "Ein adam dar b'nar hashem kivah." I mean, you don't want to live with a person who's trying to be machshel you in averus. That's a separate issue, not here. From this pasuk, it's only telling you most women you don't know. If you happen to know that she's of.
But when
he just says
you can have more wives if they don't, if not yes or
no,
that means that the extra wives can't be yes
or no. No, all of them.
As a whole, you can have some.
Oh, interesting.
I think can one.
Can one be one? I didn't get a resume, but the other 20 you do have. Yeah, I don't know. A good question. It's a good point. Good question. Okay, then the Gemara continues though. Why does Rav Shimon always subscribes to Darshina time of the Krah? So certainly here where the Torah said a reason he should subscribe to it. So Gemara says actually it's counterintuitive. Rav Shimon argues like this. Rav Shimon says, what does the Torah have to tell me a reason? I could have speculated the reason on my own. What do I need the Torah to go out of its way to tell me a reason? If not to tell me, to indicate here, we should not be Darish time of the Krah. We should not go with the reason the Torah is telling us, Lekula, and say that it only applies if they're of, you don't know their motivation. But if they've been a Sheikhai, we could have more than 18. From the fact the Torah goes out of its way to give me, I would have done that on my own. From the fact the Torah goes out of its way to give me the reason, it indicates that we should not make that argument, and we should apply it to this. And why does the Torah say the reason? not to make the argument, and in fact to go to the other extreme, to be more machmir, that if you have one that you know is a little bit dangerous, will be maser slavava, you can't even marry one. But not to be mako. Okay, so that's how the Gemara shakes out. There's a similar Gemara, Masechtas Kiddushin to ours, where this machlekes also comes up. The Gemara there is discussing the pasuk of Lois Eschatin Bom, the pasuk in Parashas Vaeschanan, that you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. So there's a machlekes in the Gemara between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Who is this pasuk talking about? Who is it addressing? So the Gemara says that according to Rav Shimon, it refers to all women, all non-Jewish women. Even though the pasuk we might have thought is only referring to the Shiva Umayst, that's what it's discussing in the Chumash, the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, the Kanani, the Prizi, the Amori, it's only them. But the pasuk says, Ki Yasir es bincha l'rabos kol amasirim. It says, why should you not marry a non-Jewish woman? She'll lead your son astray, the son, meaning the son won't be Jewish, and that comes to include everybody who's going to lead you astray, even any non-Jewish woman. So that works for Shimon, that's Derish time in Dekra. But according to the Rabbanon, the Pasuk is only discussing the Shiva Umay. So if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos explains that Gemara in the following way. He says, according to Rav Shimon, the Derish time in Dekra, so he says, I know why you can't marry a non-Jewish woman. Because the child won't be Jewish, or the child, or the parent, or the your wife will lead your child astray to worship Avodah Zarah. So I know why you can't do it. Why does the Torah therefore say a reason? If not to come, I would have like this. Torah's time of the Krah. How can I am a time of the Chitun? The Ilok Siv Kiyas have a Amina Misvar. I'm sorry. I said it backwards. According to Rav Shimon, whose Torah's time of the Krah, I might have said this does not refer. Correct. It does not refer only to these Shiva Umais. I'm sorry, it does not refer to all of the women in the world. It only refers to those seven nations because they were more entrenched in Avodah Zarah. Why does the Torah, so I mean, the Torah says, don't marry a non-Jewish woman. Rav Shimon, who's Derish time of the cross, says, you know, why can't you marry a non-Jewish woman? What's so bad? The problem is she's going to lead you astray to worship Avodah Zarah. So maybe, therefore, Rav Shimon would have restricted it, he would have limited the application of the Iser to only the Shiva Umos. Comes the Pasuk, Ki Yasir es bincha me'acharai, to include all non-Jewish women. So according to Rav Shimon, we would have been Derish time in the Krah without the reason. Why does the Torah say the reason? To come to include all non-Jewish women, meaning don't be Derish time in the Krah here. But our default would have been, meaning what we should have said in our initial position, would have been to be Derish time in the Krah, to limit to the Shiva Umois, because they're more entrenched in Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says the reason, to teach us that it's more expansive. But according to the Rabbanan, who are loy darish time of the Krah, so then, lois eschatin bam applies to all women. Why does the Torah say, because we can't be darish time of the Krah, why does the Torah say a reason to teach us that here you can be darish time of the Krah? So it only applies to those Shiva Umos that were more entrenched in Avodah Zarah and not to all women in the world. Similar type of machlekes to here. And what was our initial posture? Why does the Torah go out of its way to say a reason? Is it to teach us not to be Derish time of the Krah, but normally we would have been? Or is it to teach us here specifically you should be Derish time of the Krah, to limit it to the Shiva Umos? Even though the Pasuk we might have understood is discussing all women, because we can't say why and now not. The Torah said not to marry a non-Jewish woman. But from the fact that the Torah says, Ki Yasir has been Chamei Chorai, teaches us to be here, we can be Derish time of the Krah, even though we normally would not have been. Here we can be, and we're limited to the Shiva Umos who are entrenched in Avodah Zarah. Similar machlekes to here. How do we paskin in this machlekes? So it's interesting. The Rambam seems to look over here. Let's investigate on our own. Look at the Rambam. Perek Gimel Malachim Malachim Beis. The Rambam writes, Lo Yar Belo Noshim. You can have up to 18. That's it. He doesn't mention if they're all Kash of Yosha, you can have more. So it sounds like he's not paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. How are we paskening? Can only have up to 18. Well, it sounds like we paskening like Rabbi Shimon. And then later on he says, in Halacha Vav, if you have one that you know is dangerous, Shalev that Afil Haitzelo Ela Achas Lo Yemetz Motzei Etzel Tami Kishar Tivshin Shenemo Lo Sitei Nulina Shecha Chelecha Lo Saras Libo Ekpi Detar Shenemo Vyosel Slavavoy. Even one woman who's going to lead his heart astray, he has to be cautious. So it sounds like he's passing like Rav Shimon, which sounds like we paskin. How do we paskin? How should we paskin? We paskin like Rav Shimon. How should we paskin in general? Darshin on time of the crow. The problem is that the Rambam, when it comes to the mashkin of the Beged Almana, the Rambam paskins like Rav Yehuda, that you cannot take a mashkin of Begadim even from an Almana Ashira, not only not from an Almana Aniya.
Rabbi, there Rabbi Shimon does hold of and Darshin on the Krah. Did I always say that?
Rabbi Shimon is consistent. He's always Darshin on time of the Krah. But where the Torah says a reason, that indicates to us not to be Darsh time of the Krah. But our initial position, our initial, you know, what do we really hold? We really hold that if the Torah doesn't say, tell us a reason, what should we hold in general? Darshin on time of the Krah. So the... Then that's what the same similar type of Gemara to the Gemara in Kiddushin. The pasuk comes to teach us here, don't do it. But what is our normal derech halimud? Our normal derech halimud would be darshin in time of the crow. But yet, in the one case where you see the real positions by the mashkin of the Beged Almana, there the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda. And when it comes to the Shiva Umos, he passes again like Rav Shimon. That the pasuk of Lo Yisachatimbam applies to all of the Shiva Umos, applies to Shiva Umos and to all nations of the world, not only to the seven nations that have inherited Israel at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, but to all nations of the world, including the East of Lois Yisrael Bum. That's the source for intermarriage, according to the Rambam. Others disagree, but that's the Rambam's position. So we're quite confused. Here, the Rambam is passing like Rav Shimon. We would have been Darish time of the crow without the reason. The reason comes to teach us not to be Darish time of the crow. In the Gemara and Kiddushin, the Pasuk Lois Yisrael Bum applies to all women in the world. We would have been Darish time of the crow that it's only Shiva Umois. Comes the reason, Kiyas Ibn Chamechari, to tell us not to be Darish time of the crow. But yeah, by the Losach, well, Beged Almana, he passes like Rabbi Yehuda. That were like Darshin in time of the crow. Where it's confusing. So it sounds like from the Rambam that either way he's Machmir. We only are Darish time of the crow, the Chumro, not the Kulo. That's what it sounds like. The Rambam is cool. The Rambam Sheet over here is an enigma. He's flipping back and forth between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. But it's generally assumed we pass in Loi Darshin in time of the crow, but the Rambam flips back and forth. Could be he's being machmir in both directions. But it's important to... Tosfos in Masechet Gittin has an important observation. Tosfos writes in Gittin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, Loi pligi, there's no machlokes in Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, elaheicha de'ika nafkusa, where there's a nafkamina ledina. What about we just want to pontificate, you know, in a parsha shiur? What's the reason for this mitzvah? What moral and ethical lesson and value can we derive from this mitzvah? Like the Sefer Achinoch does on every single mitzvah. He writes, Misharoshe HaMitzvah. The ethical, you know, value or the purpose or the lesson that we can derive from the mitzvah is such and such. So that Tosfos says that was never a machlaikis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. That is permitted. The machlaikis is, can we regulate the application of a mitzvah or an iser based on the reason that we suggested or speculated? That's the machlaikis. That's the machlaikis between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. But everyone agrees you can offer reasons for the mitzvah.
I don't understand. How is it possible that a rabbi could come in with a reason that's not written in the Torah at all, and then all of a sudden they're going to be matir something that...
That's Rav Shimon's position. Very difficult.
Isn't it based off of another reasoning that was elsewhere? Like the Mashkon had a reason by it, and...
No, the Mashkon, he speculated a reason.
But we said, like, just a few people came earlier, the Torah talks about Mashkon in general, about it in Avot, or whatever they call it. Or,
yeah.
So... And it says there that if it happens to be that this person's an ani, so you have to make sure that you bring back that avot by the end of the night. That's just going right. To be Isha also by this mashkon. That's the whole Motisha and Ramash going to tell you. He's going to have to keep bringing it back to her. Everything. That, the reason's right there. She's ani.
Doesn't say that.
Rabbi Shimon is making his own.
He was speculating his own reason. Puzzle says, Sach Mabegat Amana. Who are you to tell me why?
Because we had all talking about it, we tried to fit it back into the Gemara. We were just trying to read it that they're actually making their own thing. So I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda's not clear either.
Who the hell? You can't speculate a reason.
No, for the time that they said that he could. In the beginning of the Gemara, we started off saying that he could.
Whenever the Torah says a reason, then Rabbi Yehuda will be Darish time in the crow. Then he will be Darish time in the crowd. Then Rav Shimon will take the reason as an indication not to be Darish time in the crowd. Because why else would the Torah have to tell me? I would expect that on my own.
Why Rabbi Yehuda to do that?
Because the Torah told me a reason.
It's giving you a reason so that he decides to make his own reason?
No, he didn't make his own reason. He said, so you're going to tell me a reason. When the reason applies, it applies. When it doesn't apply, then the Easter doesn't apply. The Yabbalah Nashim doesn't apply. But the machlaikas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon seems to be whether Darshin and Tami Dekro is one of the midrash atar and addresses by him. You know, we have 13 midrash atar and addresses by him in the brides of Rav Yishmael, we say every morning. Is the machlaik between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, is there a 14th of Tami Dekro? Can I strip in my own reason for the mitzvah and then regulate the application based on the reason I suggested? But one last point on this before we move on, and that is an important ha'ara that Rav Ochanan makes in the Hishiyurim HaMesechus Bav Metzia, which was printed maybe 20 years ago. And that is the following. Almost all of yeshiva learning is based on this kind of speculative analysis. We do this all the time. You know, what is the nature of this halacha? And then we say, well, that's why it applies here and it doesn't apply there. Kind of do this all the time. So Rav Ochanan asks, how is that different than Darshin and Tarmid Dekra, a specu which we don't really do? Certainly Lakula, we don't do it. Whether we do it at all is debatable. The Rambam seems to vacillate. But certainly we don't do a Lakula, to say a reason and therefore limit the application of something Lakula. But yet in yeshiva learning, we seem to do that all the time. So Rav Ochanan explains the following idea. He says there's a difference between asking, what they quote in the name of Rav Chaim really, that you can ask why or what, but you cannot ask why. Once Rav Ochanan, it comes out of a Maisa, once Rav Baruch Ber asked Rav Chaim, why is the Torah say this and this and that? And Rav Chaim said to him, we don't ask why, we ask what. So it's not just a matter of semantics, it's a different type of question. See, here Rav Ochanan says, we're asking, why does the Torah say, lo yisachmo beged almana? Why does the Torah say such a thing? So we don't do it. And then say, you know what? We can ask that to learn ethical lessons, but we can't ask it in a sense that we're going to regulate the application or limit the application of a mitzvah based on that reason. However, sometimes the Torah says something. We want to know, what is the Torah talking about? For example, the Torah says that Yechayev Kiigach Shar Isha Shar Yehu. Your shor gar or someone else's shor. So is that limited to damages that occur through an animal? The Gemara says no. Kol. That is memaincho shmiras and alecha. Anything that is your money and your obligation to watch, and it's kavanos lahazik, you're chayv to pay. If my possessions, my property damages your property, I'm chayv to pay. Whether it's other mamazik or whether it was my property that damaged. Where do we derive it from? From a shor. Why? Maybe it's ki yigach shor is a shor eu. It's just a shor. So the Gemara says no. We expand it to include other things too. So B'chanan says that's not a reason for the mitzvah. Of why you chayv if your property damages, because anything that damages with intent and you was your obligation to watch, you chayv for, that's not asking why, that's asking what. What is Karen? What is Shor Shanag Ki Yigach Shor Is Shor Eh? Was it specifically an ox or is it a larger, broader category? That's not so much a why, that's asking what. It's a different, it's a nuanced difference, but it's a different type of question, and therefore it's a different type of halacha. That's what B'chanan calls the Geder Hadin. The nature of a halacha, as opposed to the reason for it. That's the nuanced distinction between Darshin and Tamar Dekra, and what we do every day is the bread and butter of yeshiva learning, which is to understand the nature of a halacha. And we're just trying to understand, what are we talking about? Or how can we apply it further from here to elsewhere? But that's not Darshin and Tamar Dekra. Darshin and Tamar Dekra is we have a pasuk, and we want to know why it says such a thing, and you know why we have such a mitzvah. And then we're going to limit the application based on that reason. That's the machlokes of Yehuda and Rav Shimon. But not to understand what is the Torah telling us. Why does the Torah say here and not there? That's not so much of a why, that's more of a what. But I will concede it is a nuance point.
In regards to like what, like a chokhmah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give reasons
to that?
Right. I mean, why is the Torah aser, why do we have three regalim and not four, you know? Why is Yom Kippur and Tishrei, if you want to derive an ethical lesson from that and you have a good terrace and it's inspirational, gazinta hate, but it won't have any halachic bearing at all. You can't do that. We don't ask why, we ask what. What did the Torah tell us? Not why did the Torah tell us this. It's a nuanced difference, but it's important. Anyway, okay, so that's what emerges. The king is allowed to have up to 18 wives. But the Gemara asks, later on, towards the bottom, 20 lines from the bottom. But Haksiv, but the pasuk tells us, Vayikach David oid pilagshim v'noshim b'Yushalayim. David took many pilagshim, many wives. Limluye shmonasar. That was only up to the number of 18. But in fact, he did not take more. Okay, so the Gemara thought we had a source. He took more than 18 wives. No, he only took up to 18. My noshim and my pilagshim. What is a wife? What is a pilagesh? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Marav Noshim B'Ksuba U'V'Kiddushin P'Lagshin B'Loi K'Suba B'Loi K'Kiddushin. A wife is with Ksuba, with Kiddushin, with marriage and obligations of marriage. That's the Ksuba represents. Pilagshim is below Ksuba, below Kiddushin. There's no marriage and there's no obligations of marriage. There's no Ksuba either. In fact, there's a machlekes between Rashi and the Ramban on Chumash. What is the Gears on our Gemara? On the Pasuk in Parshas Chaye Sarah, I think, Uvnea Pilagshim Asher LaAvram, Nosen Avram Matanois. Pilagshim here is written Chaser because he only had one Pilagish. His Pilagish was Hagar. So his Pilagshim he gave Matanoi. So Rashi writes, what is a Pilagish? Noshim Biksuba, Pilagshim Shaloi Biksuba. But it sounds like they do have Kiddushin. She does get her wedding, just there's no Ksuba, no formal obligations if they dissolve the marriage. But the Ramban disagrees, Ein Hadavar Kein, Kilo Sikra Pilegesh, Kishi Beloi Kiddushin, and without a Ksuba, and he says the Gears and Argamar and Sanhedrin is Pilegesh, is Beloi Ksuba, Beloi Kiddushin, not Noshim B'Ksuba, Pilagshim Beloi Ksuba, Noshim B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin, Pilagshim Beloi Ksuba, Beloi Kiddushin. But there's machlekes between the Rambam and the Ravid as to how to learn this Gemara over here. The Gemara asks, didn't David have more than 18 wives? Sigmar says, no, he was just up until 18. Do the Pilagshim count in the number, in the count of 18? Or is it only wives with Kiddushin and Ksuba? Huh? Pilagshim do count? I don't know. Maybe the Pasuk was asking from the Nushim part. Vayikach David, oy Pilagshim, that's not the Kasha. Pilagshim don't count. Vinashim, whoo, he took more wives. And for the Gemara, Lemluy Yeshmanasar, no, he only took up it to 18 wives. Do the wives count, or the Gemara's Kasha was from the Pilagshim Vinashim? Which part of the Pusik was the Gemara's Kasha? Do the Pilagshim count or not? So the Rambam writes in Paragimel over here, Ois Aleph, Paragimel Malachim Alachu Beis, Pilagshim do count. The Pilagshim do count. And the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says the Pilagshim don't count. It's only the wives the Gemara was asking from. He can't have more than 18 wives. Financial obligation. Pilagshim, there's no financial obligation involved. Okay, he can have more than 18 wives. That's the opinion of the Ravid. The opinion of the Rambam is the Pilagshim do count. But I believe that this machlek between the Rambam and the Ravid really reflects a more basic machlek between the Rambam and the Ravid as to the nature of a Pilegesh and the head of a Pilegesh for a king. The Gemara, the Rambam tells us over here, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Dalid, that there is in fact no heter of Pilegesh. Who was a Pilegesh? Writes the Rambam, Kaidah Matan Torah, Haya Adam Pagea Isha Bashuk. Before Matan Torah, a man would meet a woman in the marketplace, and Rotza, Hu Vihi, they were consenting, Noisin Loschara Ubayo Oisa. Encounter Vizuhi Anikras Kadesha. Says the Rambam, this type of arrangement is what the Torah calls a Kadesha. The Pasuk in Parashas Kisei Loisiya Kadesha mi Benois Yisrael. It's also, you can't do this. Before the Torah was given, it was permitted. Now it's not allowed. Mishanitna Torah Nesra Kadesha Shanema Loisiya Kadesha mi Benois Yisrael Leficha. Says the Rambam, Ko habayo isha l'shem's nus b'loi kiddushin loik min atar b'nei shabo kadesha. Any man who has relations with a woman outside of the context of marriage is aser. It's a kadesha. So Pilegesh, according to the Rambam, might have been mutter kaita matan Torah, now it's not allowed. That's the Torah, lo siya kadesha b'nei Yisrael. So the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, no, that's not kadesha. Ain Kadesha Mizumenes Vihiham of Karas Lakoladam. The only woman who's a Kadesha is a woman who's open to all. One day she's with this one day with that one. Abraham Yachedas Atmalish Ilish Echel, let's say they have an exclusive relationship, but they're not married. Ain Baloy Malkus, Veloy Iser Lav, says the Ravid, there's no Malkus, no Lav. Again, not a glowing endorsement. Okay, so no Malkus, no Lav, Vihia Pilegesh Haksuba. That's the Pilegesh of the Torah. The Rabbi says the Pilegesh is allowed. What is Laisiya Kedeshim Ibn Ois Yisrael? That's if she's Mufkeres L'Kol Adam. One day with this one day with that one. But if she's exclusive with one man, even though it's outside of the context of marriage, so then the Rabbi's opinion is that that's a Pilegesh, and a Pilegesh can be allowed. That's the opinion of the Rabbi. How do we paskin on this? It's two opinions in the Ramo. I didn't give it to you. Too much information is dangerous. But it's in fact two opinions in the Ramo. And Evan Ezer, is it Pilegesh allowed or not? The Rambam holds no. The Ravid holds yes. Rav Yaakov Emden even has a notorious shuva in the She'ilas Yaivitz, where he suggests that perhaps we should revert. We don't. This is not obviously common practice. I hope it goes without saying. But Rav Yaakov Emden suggests that perhaps we should rethink this issue. It might solve some of the marital stresses and dilemmas that we have in our time. And everyone thinks just the opposite. Open that can of worms, it will destroy the Jewish marriage, not help the situation at all. In fact, according to the name of Reb Chaim, that even though the Ravid said Pilegish is mutter, that's included in the Ramban's comment at the beginning of Parashas Kedoshim of a novel Bishus HaTorah, a person who is a glutton with license from the Torah. He eats tons of meat, does things that are all permitted, but at the same time, that's the violation of Kedoshim to you. So too, Reb Chaim held that even though the Ravid holds its mutter, if you do such a thing in practice, it would be a violation of Kedoshim to you. Nonetheless, yeah.
If the Rambam says that Pilegesh were Aser, what does he say regarding David?
Oh, excellent. Okay. So the Rambam's opinion is that Pilegesh existed before Matan Torah, now it's included in Lysia Kadesha. The Ravid holds no, because the Rambam holds any relationship outside of the context of marriage is Aser. The Ravid holds no, that's a Pilegesh, Haksuba B'Torah. It is Mutter. What is a Kadesha? Mufkeres Muzumenes Ko Adam. Not exclusive, but if it's exclusive, it can be allowed. What about the king? David had Pilagshim. We just read the Pasuk. So the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Malach, Malach Dalet, that a king can have a Pilegesh. Aval ha-head yoit osu b'Pilegesh. Why? We don't find halachas. If anything, the king has more stringencies. We don't find leniencies that are only given to the king. Why should we be more makel when it comes to the king?
Isn't for the government, isn't it for political reasons? Isn't that one of the reasons we're given? So like he could get like more relationships with like other countries and stuff.
Political alliances? No.
Huh?
I don't think so.
I heard that before,
it might be speculation, but I don't think that's... Huh?
That was a problem, though, because Shlomo did that.
Yeah, but that's not why. The Torah is not going to allow him to be over on Isurim of Lysia Kadesh and Rinos Yisrael, so he can make political alliances. I don't think. So the Or Sameach explains in the Rambam the following. It says, why does the Rambam not allow a Pilegesh in general? Because even though today she's exclusive with this man, tomorrow she might be exclusive with somebody else. It's outside of the context of marriage. It's exclusive, but there's no commitment involved. And the Rambam holds, in order to allow to have relations, then not only does it have to be exclusive, but there has to be a commitment. So generally, by a Pilegesh, there's no commitment. That's the whole point of the Pilegesh. There's no Kiddusha, no Ksuba, today here, today, gone tomorrow. But the Or Sameach explains that by the king it's different, because the Yushalmi tells us, in Masechta Sanhedrin, right over here, that once a woman had relations with the king, she would be prohibited from marrying anybody else forever. Out of respect to the king. So therefore, says Dar Sameach, the king is different because there is commitment. Once she's with the king, that's it. She can no longer be with anyone else. That's why there's a heter Pilegesh by the king. Not because we give him halachic dispensations we don't give to others. We're trying to curry favor with the king. No. It's because by others, even though it's exclusive now, there's no commitment of exclusivity. But by the king, there is. There is a certain type of ishus that exists by the king. There is a certain type of marriage, not the typical marriage of Kiddush and Ksuba, but there is the commitment of marriage in the sense that once she's with him, she's not allowed to be with anybody else. Yes.
As long as she's married to him.
Huh?
As long as she's married to him.
No. Huh. Even the Pilegesh, Yushalmi says.
Not the story with
the Achashverosh. Once she's a Pilegesh, she's not allowed to be. It might have been that lacha, but I'll...
Once
Esther was with him.
No, once all of them.
Once they were there, they could no longer leave.
Yeah, that's
all. So that's the Yushalmi and Sanhedrin. So that's what the Or Sameach claims. That's the pshat over here by the Rambam. That's why the Rambam normally doesn't allow the Ravid. It's not a problem. The Ravid allowed Pilegesh for the private citizen, but according to the Rambam, the Pilegesh is not allowed for everybody else. That's only because there's no commitment. But by the king, there is exclusivity and the commitment. which is akin to Ishus. It's like marriage, not the typical marriage of Kiddush and Iksuba, but a different type of commitment, because she's no longer allowed to be with anybody else. If that's the case, perhaps that's why the Rambam feels the Pilegesh of the king is included in the count of 18. The Rambam holds the Pilegesh doesn't count in the count of 18, because there's no Ishus by the Pilegesh. She's exclusive, but here today. There's no Ishus there. Just like there's no Ishus by the private citizen who has a Pilegesh. No point in Pilegesh. But according to the Rambam, Pilegesh is also by everyone else. It's only mutter to the king. Why is the Pilegesh only mutter to the king? Because there is a little bit of Ishus there. Not a typical Ishus, but a unique form of Ishus, that once she's with him, she can only be with anybody else. So there is a certain type of commitment. Since there is that certain type of commitment, so I believe that's why the Rambam understood that the Pilegesh is counted within the number of 18 wives. Because, you know, it's not a typical wife. There is a little bit of Ishus there, and that's why she would count. Whereas according to the Rambam, the Pilegesh, there's no Ishus at all, and he holds that the relations are allowed outside of the context of Ishus. As long as it's exclusive, it's not one day by this one day by that one, the Pilegesh is allowed, so then the Pilegesh should be allowed to the king too, but there's no Ishus there. Just like there's no Ishus by a Pilegesh of a regular private citizen, and that's why the Pilegesh doesn't count in the count of 18. This machlekes, though, between the Rambam and the Ravid about Pilegesh seems to reflect a larger issue, perhaps, about the nature of the mitzvah of getting married, whether there is one in the first place or not. Because the Rosh writes Masechtas Ksubas, you might remember from last year, with regards to the bracha of Kiddushin, before, afterwards. The time of a Kiddushin, when the Chassan proposes to the Kala, Rei Mekudesh Li B'Tabazu, before that, we make a bracha of Asher Kisham Zayis of Itzivanu Ha'orayos V'Yasalonos Harusos V'Yitalonos Nesuos Adei Chuba V'Kiddushin, a long, drawn-out bracha which describes the whole institution of marriage. So the Rosh asks, on that Gemara in Ksubas and Av Zayin, why do we have such a strange bracha? A unique bracha in the list of brachos, why not just Asher Kishon Zayis of Itzivan al Kiddushin? So he writes, V'nir Ali ki bracha zu ein a bracha la'asiyas ha-mitzvah. This is not a regular birchas ha-mitzvah. Ki piri v'rivya hainu kiyam ha-mitzvah. What is the mitzvah of getting married? Purvu. But you don't have to get married to fulfill Purvu, says the Rosh. V'im lokach pilegesh v'kiyam piri v'rivya, you don't have to get married. So says the Rosh, there's no bracha on getting married, a typical birchas ha-mitzvah of Asher Kishon Zayis of Itzivanu al Kiddushin. There is no mitzvah to get married. What is the mitzvah, Rabbi Isai? Having children. How could you fulfill that? Other means. Having pilegesh. That's the Rosh. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Ish Lechach of Gimel that this is a birchas ha-mitzvah. Even though it is an odd nusach, granted, but the Rambam says this is a birchas ha-mitzvah. Tzarech levarech koidem ha-kiddushin hu ha-shluchoi, v'achar kach mekadesh kederach shemevarechin koidem kol ha-mitzvahs. Just like we make a bracha before all of the mitzvahs. And the Ravid disagrees. He says, no, you don't make a bracha before, you make it after. When do you make a bracha after, Rabbi Isai? What type of bracha you make after? You usually make a bircha shevach v'ayda after. You see lightning, l'mashal, then you make the bracha. You don't make the bracha, I know it's about to make lightning, and then I make the bracha before. Birchas ha-mitzvah, you make oivel asiyosam. Right before you put on your talis, you make the bracha. Right before you put on your tefillin, you make the bracha. That's what you're supposed to do. Right before you put on your tefillin, you're supposed to make the bracha. Birchas ha-mitzvah is typically before. Birchas shevach v'ayda is afterwards. When do you make birchas kiddushin? We do it before, to be chayshish for the Rambam. But according to the Rosh, according to the Ravid, you make it afterwards. Because what type of bracha is it? It's a bracha of shevach v'ayda, says the Rosh, on the institution of marriage. That's why it's so drawn out. Asher kisham tzitzivanu al harayos, v'yitalonis hanesuos, v'asalonis harusos. Why such a long thing? Because we're talking about the institution of marriage. Thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving us such an institution. So therefore the Rosh holds the brachas afterwards. We're chayshish for the Rambam, we make the bracha before. But in truth, we probably paskin like the Rosh. If you forget to make the bracha before, we paskin, you can make it afterwards. Or really make it like the Rosh. Another difference will be who's supposed to make the bracha. Who does the Rambam say is supposed to make the bracha? Who's supposed to make the? Who's getting married? Chassan. Chassan.
But he doesn't make the bracha.
He doesn't make the bracha. Chassan is supposed to make the bracha. So, but we don't posit like that. Who makes the bracha? It's not a kiddushin. According to the Rosh, who shall make the bracha? Anybody who's there, really. I mean, it's a bracha of shayuch vaydatu ribbono shel olam in the institution of marriage. So it's really all of us should make the bracha. Anybody who's at the wedding. We're all giving shevach vaydatu Hashem on witnessing a marriage. And we really passing like the Rosh. That's why the Masada Kiddusha makes the bracha, not the Chassan. That's also why the Masada Kiddusha should be someone the entire Olam would like to be the Masada Kiddusha. Sometimes you have a Chassan had the connection with the Rebbe, you know, and the Rebbe's 24 or whatever, you know, and he flies in the Rebbe to be his Masada Kiddusha. No one in the audience ever heard of this guy before. They never they don't recognize him, and then you have in the audience to go to Adar. So, but this guy has a relationship. We learned Alei Shor together, so he wants him to be Masada Kiddushin. It's improper.
Is it?
Yeah, it should be the person who everybody is recognized. Because it's a show by on behalf of everyone, not just, it's not the even though he's paying for it, or, you know, the parents are paying for it. So we let him pick the Masada Kiddushin, but the truth of the matter is, it should be someone who everybody recognizes. Rav Salvechik, apparently, as what I hear, would not have been Masada Kiddushin if Ramesha was there. Well, many from a younger generation would not be Masada Kiddushin. Someone recognized.
I feel like Rav Neuberger was supposed to be Masada Kiddushin one time, and Rav Shaffer
wouldn't do it. That's why. It's not only have covet, personal covet, but because it's supposed to be someone who everybody recognizes, not someone who is just best friends with the Chassan. Yeah.
According to
Rosh,
how do you answer the Joseph on the breath
like that? Rosh, it works out well. Because it's a shevach vaydan, the institution of marriage. We discussed that we get the whole thing from the beginning to the end. According to the Rambam, that it's a birchas hamitzvah.
Yes, that's good. It's a birchas hamitzvah.
No, it should have just been asher kishanim tzitzvayis v'tzivanu ala kiddushin, like al netilas lulav.
You know, where we have a shevach vaydan, that's asher kishanim.
That's strange. That's true. That's true. That's a good point. But the rest of the bracha indicates like the Rosh.
Yeah.
There is, in fact, one Girsa in Yerushalmi that has the Girsa Asher Kishanim Zayis V'Tzivanu Al HaKiddushin. We don't pass it like that, but that reflects the Rambam. Okay, so the Rambam feels it is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Rabbi say, why did the Rambam feel it's a Birchas HaMitzvah? Because the Rambam holds it a mitzvah to get married, which the Rosh did not think that there was. Writes the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Beis. V'likuchen, the last line. V'likuchen elu mitzvahs esei shel Torahim. Before Matan Torah, says the Rambam, a man would meet a woman in the shuk if they decided to, ratzahu v'hi lisa. He would bring her into his home, and that would be the end of it. But now we have a mitzvah of kiddushin. V'likuchen elu mitzvahs esei shel Torahim. The Rambam holds it's a mitzvah, so therefore there is the concept of a birchas mitzvah. But why did the Rambam hold Kiddushin is a mitzvah and the Rosh holds it's not? So I believe it has its source in that old machlek is by Pilegesh. Because the Rambam holds, Rabbi says, is there a heter of Pilegesh for a private citizen? No. Who can only have a Pilegesh? The king. Why? Because not only is it exclusive, but there's a commitment. Because once she's with the king, she can no longer be with anybody else. A little bit ishus. It's like a marriage. But for everybody else? No. So therefore, how are you going to fulfill Puruvu? In what context? Through what framework? Through what means are you going to fulfill Puruvu? What's the only way, according to the Rambam? Marriage! So therefore, it necessitates getting married. Therefore, marriage is a mitzvah, independently. Because you can't fulfill Puruvu in any other way. If you could, maybe it wouldn't be, but you can't. According to the Rosh, he holds like the Rambam. He says, what do you have to run? Fulfill Puruvu? Go get a Pilegesh. What do you mean, go get a Pilegesh? The Rav at home, having a Pilegesh was allowed. And that's the opinion of the Rosh too. You can have a Pilegesh. She said, well, what are you getting married for? That's not a mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah at all. Therefore, the bracha is not a birchas mitzvah. It is rather a birchas shevach v'haydah. Yeah.
If marriage, will you consider a mitzvah in order to fulfill?
That's what it sounds like.
So isn't it just a
heksher
mitzvah?
Is it a heksher mitzvah? No, but it's a necessary precursor. It's not just, there's no other way. So maybe that itself qualifies it as a mitzvah. That seems to be the opinion of the Rambam.
You just do that and fulfill your mitzvah?
No.
So then,
That's one mitzvah, but now I'm going to have pruvu is another mitzvah. But since you can't fulfill pruvu in any other way, so maybe that... because there's no heter pilekish for the Rambam. How else are you going to fulfill pruvu if not through marriage? So it must be that that's a mitzvah. But the Rush doesn't see the logic there, because the Rush feels you want to fulfill pruvu, have a pilekish. You want to marry, get married, but it's not a mitzvah. Birch HaShav Vaidah, it's a wonderful institution, and we'll praise the Ribbono Shalom for it. But it's not necessarily a mitzvah. Yeah. So we have two opinions so far, yeah.
I just don't understand how there's any issue about pilekish for a king, because the fact that she can't be with anyone else is whether he dies or not. So that's not like anybody else.
Okay, it's a different type of commitment. Not your typical marriage.
It's a commitment of kavod, more than a commitment of...
Okay, whatever generates the commitment. But there is a commitment there. It's not just we decided to be exclusive like the Ravid. It's not she's one day with this one day with that one. That's the Losiya Kadesha, according to everyone. But let's say they decide to have a relationship, but they don't want to get married. So the Ravid says, okay, great, Pilegesh, we have such a... And the Ram holds, no. The king is different, because the king, there is commitment. Just because the commitment is generated out of kavod for the king doesn't matter. Once you have that commitment there, whether it's because of external pressure or internal pressure, because we created a marriage, or because there's an external pressure, the covenant for the king, and the Malchus, either way, there's commitment here. So it should be allowed. So we have two opinions so far. One is the Rush and the Ravid that a Pilegish is allowed, and therefore Kiddushin, both for a private citizen, of course for the king, and therefore Kiddushin is not a mitzvah at all, because you can have fulfilled pruvu in a different way. And then we have the opinion of the Rambam that Pilegish is only mutter for the king, because there's a commitment there. It's in the context of marriage. Everyone else can't have a, even if you have an exclusive relationship, cannot have a Pilegesh, even if it is exclusive, because there's no commitment. Any relationship outside of the context of a commitment, outside of the context of ishus of marriage, is not allowed. And therefore, the only way to fulfill pruvu is through the framework of marriage, and that's perhaps why the Rambam feels that marriage, kiddushin, is a mitzvah, and therefore the birchas erusin is a birchas hamitzvah. There does seem to be, though, a third opinion. And that is the opinion of the Ramban. Because the Ramban here splits. The Ramban writes, what kind of bracha is this? The Ramban and Chidush HaRamban and Ksubis and Dav Zayin over there. What kind of bracha is this? This strange Nusach HaBracha, Asher Kishan, Zayis V'tzivano, Arayos, V'talonos and Asuos, Losalonos HaRusos. What kind of a strange bracha is that? So the Ramban says, it is in fact the Birchas HaMitzvah. Nonetheless, you can't make a typical bracha on it. Shekol hamitzvos mevarach alein over lasiyason. Ve'ilu haisa chupa nasis achshav hay mevarach l'shem shlosav tzivanu al kiddushin v'chupa. If the chupa would happen right now, together with the kiddushin, you could make such a bracha. But achshav lo hay yecholim levarach asher kiddushanu al kiddushin v'chupa. Shrei ein chupa nasis achshav. In the times of the Gemara, they would first do kiddushin, then the chupa would be a year later. So since the Kiddushin and the Chuppah didn't happen at the same time, you can't make a bracha on getting married. Because there's two stages to the marriage. There's Kiddushin, there's Nisuin. And the Nisuin is a fulfillment, the completion of the Kiddushin. And therefore, says the Ramban, what do you have right now when you're doing the Kiddushin? All you have is half a mitzvah. You can't make a bracha on half a mitzvah. A technicality. But does the Ramban hold that fundamentally getting married is a mitzvah? Does he? Yes. It sounds like he does. Why can't you make a bracha, birchas mitzvah, sher kishon zoyis v'tzivanu, al kiddushin v'chuppah? Is it because getting married is not a mitzvah? Like the Rush? No. It's because you only have half a mitzvah here. You can't make a bracha on half a mitzvah. What's the other half of the mitzvah? The chuppah in the times of the Gemara is first kiddushin. A year later would be the chuppah. Since you only have half a mitzvah, you can't make a bracha. So if you had to put him in one of the two camps, does he hold like the Rosh that it's a birchas shavuot vaidah? Or does he hold like the Rambam that it's a birchas hamitzvah? He holds like the Rosh. It's a birchas shavuot vaidah. But not for the reason of the Rosh. Not because there's no mitzvah to get married. There is a mitzvah to get married. The problem is, all you have is half a mitzvah. You can't make a birchas hamitzvah on a lulav without the esrog. You can't do it. The entire mitzvah is not in front of you. So too, you can't make a birchas hamitzvah on the kiddushin alone without the chuppah. They're both two parts of the same one larger mitzvah, the mitzvah of getting married. So Ramban holds there is a mitzvah to get married, like the Rambam, but at the same time he holds the birchas nisuin and the bracha of Eirusin of Hashem Shem Tzivanu, Sivanu, Asalanus Harusa, Sitalanus Nesuas, that is a birchas sheru v'ayda. So in that sense he splits. The Rambam, the Rush holds there's no mitzvah of getting married, it's a birchas sheru v'ayda. When have children, have a pilegish. The Rambam holds there is a mitzvah of getting married, it is a birchas hamitzvah. It is a birchas hamitzvah, there is a mitzvah to get married. The Ramban holds there is a mitzvah to get married, but it's not a birchas hamitzvah, because you only have half a mitzvah in front of you.
Wouldn't you say the Kiddushin is a bigger mitzvah? That's the only thing recognized by the Torah, the Kiddushin.
What are you talking about? Nisuin, of course, is a mitzvah.
Don't you have to get a get after Kiddushin anyway?
Yes, that's halfway, so but you have the problem. You're half in, so you have to get a get, but at the same time, you're not allowed to be together until you have Nisuin. Nisuin is a... She's your wife, but she's not living with you. Yeah.
But now that nowadays, as we get to do Kiddushin and Erusin, and
okay, but the Nusach HaBracha was established at the time of Chazal. No. Okay, so that's the opinion of the Ramban. The opinion of the Ramban is that there is a mitzvah to get married, even though the Bracha is only a Birchas Sheru V'ayda. That's because you only have half a mitzvah in front of you. You don't have the whole mitzvah. The Rambam obviously holds Kiddushin itself is a mitzvah. In the absence of Nisuin, Kiddushin independently is a mitzvah without Nisuin. Okay, but the Ramban holds the two parts of the marriage, Kiddushin and Nisuin, you only have half a mitzvah in front of you, therefore you cannot make a birchas hamitzvah, typical, Asher Kishon Mitzvah Yisvizvanu, Al-Chuppah V'Kiddushin, Kiddushin V'Chuppah, rather to birchas Sheru V'ayda with a long, elongated nusach. But the Ramban holds there is a mitzvah to get married. Rabbi said, without looking further, what would you say the Ramban holds about a Pilegesh? What should it have been? The Ramban holds there is a mitzvah to get married. Now, if you could fulfill Puruvu in another way, would there be a mitzvah to get married?
No.
We suggested until now, no. The Rambam holds there's a mitzvah to get married because there's no het to pilegesh. You have no other way of fulfilling Puruvu. The Rush holds there's no mitzvah to get married, and he told us why. You want to fulfill a Puruvu, get a pilegesh. So the Ramban holds there is a mitzvah to get married. That should have meant that the Ramban would hold that there's no other way of fulfilling Puruvu other than getting married. Which would mean you cannot have a Pilegesh. However, the Ramban writes, it's quoted in the Tshuvas HaMiuchasas LaRamban, that he believes it is permitted to have a Pilegesh, like the Ravid, like the Rush. As long as she's Miuchedes Loi, he learns that from David. Just like David had a Pilegesh, a private citizen can have a Pilegesh too. Vade Muteresi Kaven Sheyich Liliatzmai. He holds there's no difference between a king, private citizen. We don't find generally differences. Lakula, you know, the king gets dispensations. We don't find that generally. So just like the king have a pilegesh, why can't the private citizen have a pilegesh? So Ramban holds it's mutter. As long as she has to be exclusive. If there's no exclusivity, that's Losia Kadeshim Ibn Yisrael. One day with this one day with that one.
What are we saying? She's only exclusive to the Malachi?
There's a commitment too. To the king, once she's with the king, you can't be with anybody else.
Right, so then
the Ravid holds, as long as we understand between the two of us, we have an agreement, we're going to be exclusive for now. We can decide to... No one said we're being exclusive for life. But for right now, we're exclusive. So fine. But there's no commitment. For the Rambam, it's only mutter if there's a commitment, if it's in the context of marriage. The Ramban seems to hold like the Ravid. That you can fulfill, and therefore he holds like you can fulfill Puruvu. How can you fulfill Puruvu according to the Ramban? How can you fulfill Puruvu according to the Ramban? No problem. Get a Pilegesh. But at the same time, the Ramban believes there is a mitzvah to get married. So I think you see here what for us is somewhat of a new perspective. According to the Rush and the Ravid, there's no mitzvah to get married because it's mutter to have a Pilegesh. Want to fulfill Puruvu? Have a Pilegesh. According to the Ramban, there is no heter Pilegesh. So the mitzvah to get married necessitates. There has to be a mitzvah to get married. There's no other way to fulfill Puruvu. For the Ramban, there is another way to fulfill Puruvu. He holds like the Rush and the Ravid, that there's a heter of Pilegesh to anyone, not just to the king. But at the same time, he holds as a mitzvah to get married. The only reason the bracha of Birchas Eirusin is not a Shekhar Shem Zayis Vitzivanu al Kiddushin v'achupah is because you only have half a mitzvah in front of you. but there is a mitzvah there. So I think you see from the Ramban, a third perspective, that the mitzvah of getting married is independent of Pruvu. There's simply a mitzvah to be married. It's not good for a man to be alone, not only in order to accomplish the mitzvah of Pruvu. For the Rambam, the mitzvah of Kiddushin is about Pruvu. For the Rosh and the Ravi, there isn't even a mitzvah of Kiddushin. You can fulfill Pruvu in another way. But no one holds as independently an ideal of being married outside of the concern of Pruvu. But that seems to be the opinion of the Ramban. Is independently a mitzvah to be married, because that's an ideal, even if it's not for the purposes of Pruvu. And the last thing, that's the Ramban in Mochamas and Masechtas Yevamos. One of the few mitzvahs for which one is allowed to sell a Sefer Torah is in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Pruvu, to get married. Lisa Isha, the Gemara says. It doesn't say Pruvu, it says Lisa Isha. So what if you want to get married, but they're an older couple, you know? They're not going to fulfill Pruvu. They already fulfilled Pruvu. Or it's not possible for them to fulfill Pruvu. Are you allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to get married? So Rav HaRishonim say no. It's only for the mitzvah of Pruvu. Pruvu yes, no Pruvu not. The Ramban holds no. The Ramban holds, even if it's just to be married. Alpha Pisha no Chayv Kal Pir Vivio La'ayla Mechu Sefer Torah Afilu Lisa Yisha Delam Asbonim. Even to marry a woman who is no longer able to have children, you would still be mutter to sell Sefer Torah. And that's the opinion of the Ramban. That independently there's an ideal to be married. That's the proper state for a person to be in, is to be married, no matter what stage of life he's in. And therefore the Ramban holds, even if it's in the absence of a prospect or possibility of fulfilling Pruvu, one would be allowed to sell Sefer Torah. And that's why the Ramban holds, even though you can fulfill Pruvu in a different way, there's a heter pilegesh. Nonetheless, there is in fact a mitzvah to get married, because that's the ideal for everyone. Yeah.